From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of September 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, the folks at the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, will be here to discuss the agricultural cash grain markets. We'll check the weather forecast with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. And along the way, hear all about crop conditions in Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. And the latest from the Farm Doc site with ag economist Gary Schnitke. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly lower. The contracts like this in the September. Wheat at 7.14¾, down 1.5 cents. December at 7.51½, 8.5 lower in the March. 7.89, down 6.25. July at 8.10¾, lower. Hard red finished July at 8.70 in Kansas City, down 4.5 cents. September corn futures back in Chicago, $7.36½, down 10¼. December at 7.48, 7¾ lower. March corn at $7.16¾ a cent, down 7.5. The May at 7.67¼, 7¼ lower. And July at 7.72, down 6¾. September futures 3 cents lower at 7.05¾. Next year's December, $6.63¾, down 2 cents for the day. September beans at $14.11, down 2.5. November at $14.20¾, a penny and 3/4 lower. January, $14.31½, down 0.75 cents. Then things turned to green. March futures up a penny in the bean pit at $14.37¼. May at $14.39, up 3. July up 3 at $14.44½. And next year's November, $13.90, 4 higher. Bean meal finished at $3.67.20, down $1.10. Bean oil up 62 cents at $58.18. Live cattle futures finished the October contract at $117.65, 67.5 cents higher. December at $118.70, up 42.5 cents. September feeders at $133.92½, 12.5 cents higher. October at $134.80, up 32.5. And October lean hogs at $84.85, up $1.50. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, October contract, $89.25 a barrel, $3.23 higher. Ethanol at $2.80¾, down 0.7 cents. Natural gas at $3.94¾, that's just about 0.9 cents higher for the day. Heating oil at $3.07¼. Diesel fuel, 0.6¼ higher. And the gold futures at $1,814.20 an ounce, down $55.70. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 11,394, just about 255 points higher. The dollar at 75.48, down 0.46 for the day. And the CRB index on the afternoon at 339.81. up 4.59 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies, says the National Weather Service, a high near 74 degrees. North-northeast winds at about 16 miles an hour, though gust all the way to 25. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 51. North-northwest winds at 8 to 10. And then on Thursday, a 40% chance of showers in the area. Mostly cloudy, a high near 71 degrees. North winds between 9 and 15, gusting to 24. Thursday night, a 50% chance of showers, cloudy. A low Thursday evening, 59 degrees. North-northeast winds at 6 to 9. Friday, a 50% chance of showers continues. It'll be cloudy, a high near 72 with east-northeast winds at about 6. And Friday night, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy. A low again of 59 degrees. On Saturday, a 40% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a high of 75. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 59. Sunday, partly sunny, a high near 78 degrees. And Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low of 59. When we start the work week on Monday, we'll see mostly sunny skies and a high of 83 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, is on the phone line. Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Todd.
Any harvest happening in your area?
Yeah, we're getting quite a volume of corn at the Oakland elevator, and it has some moisture in it. I'm going to say that it's probably on the smaller side of the equation, but one of the things that we're all contemplating is a smaller crop does go faster when harvest does come. In other words, they can wrap up a lot of acres in a very quick time. I think the bottom line is, of course, it's a two-edged sword today. We are seeing a very strong crude oil market, stock market, a weaker gold and silver market based on some positive news overnight with the German judicial system on a ruling. The other factor I think that the most bothersome is we are seeing a tremendous amount of export competition between the Ukraine, Brazil, and Argentina. They're dumping a lot of soybeans, corn, and wheat into the world markets, and it is undercutting our market. The other side of the coin is that with a small U.S. crop, you don't want to be left standing with an empty bin or a processing plant not running at full throttle with an empty tank. So it's going to be a catch-22, and it'll be interesting to see just how everything unfolds.
Next Monday morning at 7:30 a.m. Central, the United States Department of Agriculture will release two important reports, crop production numbers, Dow Jones Industrial Average. Dow Jones has theirs out today on what the survey looked like ahead of time. And then, of course, the grain stocks report is due out. The Dow Jones survey shows an average 12.5 billion bushel corn crop, a 3.025 billion bushel soybean crop on a 148.8 and a 41 bushel average, respectively. Carryouts for this year at 974 for corn, 232 for soybeans, and next year's carryouts at 636 for corn and 152 for beans. What do you think of those numbers?
Well, I think the market can live with those numbers. The problem is we're going to be faced with a dilemma just like we were last year, an early harvest and a burdensome stocks problem, getting which year's right. And, of course, I'm sure it'll confuse the market at least for 24 hours or at least for 5 hours.
So
before
you think
the
grain stocks report is going to show a harvest, don't you?
But that won't probably show up till next time, in the October report. But back to this one. I think that those numbers are logical. My impression is that I don't think we're going to be surprised with a bigger crop of corn as of today. That's my impression with what I'm hearing with the exit yields
right now. Are you okay with the 148.8? We're at 153 now from USDA.
Well, yeah, and the big million-dollar question is it's under 150 and 149 probably. Anything under that probably the market can handle pretty good.
Okay, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with
us
today.
Have a profitable day.
You too. That's Paul Cooley with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon.
Programs on WILL are made possible by Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, offering pinch-proof doors, keyless digital entries, and lifetime manufacturer warranties. Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families with professionally installed doors and automatic openers since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois.
USDA released its weekly crop progress report a day late because of Labor Day, of course. We have an update now from the statisticians in four of the five top corn-producing states of the nation. We'll start with Iowa.
This is Nick Schauer, Deputy Director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending September 4th, 2011. Much of Iowa received precipitation during the week. Statewide average precipitation for the week was 1.58 inches compared with a weekly normal of 0.89 inches. Totals for the week varied from less than a quarter inch in Sioux City to almost 4.5 inches near Stanley in Buchanan County. Unfortunately, high winds and hail accompanied the storm in some northern areas of the state. Temperatures varied from unseasonably warm weather during the middle of the week to cooler weather over the weekend. Statewide temperatures for the week averaged 3.8 degrees above normal. There were 4.9 days suitable for field work statewide during the week. Southeast Iowa was the exception with over 6 days suitable for field work. 61% of the topsoil is now rated in surplus to adequate condition, an increase of 13 percentage points from last week. Subsoil moisture condition also increased from last week and now stands at 58% adequate to surplus. The southeast continues to be the driest part of the state with topsoil and subsoil conditions at 84 and 74% short to very short, respectively. 96% of the corn crop has reached dough stage, slightly behind last year's 97%, but ahead of the five-year average 90%. 86% of the corn crop is at or beyond the dent stage, slightly behind last year, but 17 points ahead of normal. 14% of the corn crop is now mature, slightly behind the normal 15%. Corn silage harvest continues and seed corn is being harvested. Corn condition continued to decline and now stands at 55% good to excellent, down 4 points from last week. 16% of the soybean crop is turning color, behind last year's 40% and the five-year average of 33%. Soybean condition also declined from last week and is reported at 62% good to excellent. Third cutting alfalfa hay harvest advanced to 85% complete, ahead of last year's 79% and the average 74%. The condition of the hay crop is reported at 44% good to excellent, a slight decrease from last week, while pasture conditions rated 37% good or better, unchanged from last week. This is Nick Schauer reporting for the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is David Ward, Agricultural Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, September 4th. Many cities and towns across the state experienced record-breaking temperatures midweek, but cooler temps made their way in just in time for the Labor Day weekend. Statewide, temperatures averaged 76.6 degrees, well above the normal of 71.9 degrees. Scattered showers and thunderstorms spread across much of central and northern Illinois on Saturday. An average precipitation ended the week at 0.5 inch compared to 0.75 inch normally for this time period. Growing degree day units since May 1 ended the week at 2,819, ahead of the historic average by 7%. Topsoil moisture supplies are reported at 32% very short, 38% short, 29% adequate, and 1% surplus. There was an average of 6.4 days suitable for field work reported last week. Statewide, corn in the dented stage advanced to 88% compared to 92% last year and 73% for the five-year average. Mature corn increased to 33% compared to 54% last year and 27% for the five-year average, and 3% was reported harvested compared to 6% last year. Overall, corn conditions remain mostly fair, with 40% being rated in good or excellent condition, and 24% being rated poor or very poor. For soybeans, 25% were reported turning yellow, compared to 45% last year, and 27% normally. 4% were reported shedding leaves, compared to 15% last year, and 8% for the five-year average. Overall, the soybean crop was rated mostly good, with 48% being reported as either good or excellent, and 17% being reported as poor or very poor. In other crops around the state, the third cutting of alfalfa hay advanced to 82% complete, compared to 86% for the five-year average, and 85% of the sorghum crop was reported coloring, compared to the five-year average of 65%. This has been David Ward with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with a crop weather report for the week ending September 4th, 2011. Above normal temperatures continue to move crops towards maturity. Irrigation of corn was near completion with soybean irrigation in its last stages. Corn for silage, high moisture corn, and seed corn harvest have started on a limited basis. A few early fields of sorghum and dry beans were harvested as well. Winter wheat seeding was underway in the west. Grasshoppers continue to be a concern in portions of the panhandle. Corn conditions rated 75%, good to excellent, near 74 average. Corn in the dough stage stood at 97%, equal to average. Corn in the dense stage was 72%, behind 77 average. Soybean conditions rated 79%, good to excellent, above 72 average. Soybean fields turning color stood at 12%, behind 27 average. The third cutting of alfalfa was 85% completed, while the fourth cutting was 17%. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAST Minnesota Field Office, with some highlights from today's crop production report. Based on conditions as of August 1st, Minnesota corn production is forecast at 1.27 billion bushels. That's down 2% from last year. Yield is forecast at 166 bushels per acre, and that's down 11 bushels from last year's record high, 177 bushels per acre. Expected area for harvest is 7.65 million acres. Soybean production is forecast at 284 million bushels, down 14% from last year's production. The yield is forecast at 40 bushels per acre, down 5 bushels from last year. The expected area for harvest is 7.11 million acres. Spring wheat crop is estimated at 79.6 million bushels, down 3% from last year. Yield is estimated at 51 bushels per acre, down 1 bushel from the July forecast and down 4 bushels from the previous year. Sugar beet is estimated at 10.4 million tons, down 12% from last year's production. Yield is estimated at 22 tons per acre, down 4.6 tons from last year's record high, 26.6 tons per acre. Dry bean production is estimated at 2.42 million hundredweight, down 21% from last year. Yield is forecast at 1,730 pounds per acre, down 20 pounds per acre from last year. Those are some of the highlights from today's crop production report. For full details, log on to www.nass.usda.gov. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Please visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Up next, a conversation with farm management specialist from University of Illinois Extension, Gary Schnittke, on his latest offerings from the FarmDoc website. He just recently penned an article on 2012 corn revenues.
Well, we have a lot of people setting cash rents and making other decisions now, and they're looking at the expected prices or futures prices that exist out there and coming up with some pretty high revenues. But I decided that we also needed to look at what could possibly happen as far as poor revenues, because we still have a lot of risk out there, and so we looked and quantified how far down we could go.
So this comes out after your cash rent average looks like on Central Illinois farmland at $325.
And if we're looking at cost, we're non-land cost, we're in the $500 range. So you're looking at total cost on a cash rented farmland of $850 to $900 an acre. So we calculated the chance that revenue would be below that, given what futures prices are saying now, particularly options prices about downside risk and what we have looked at as far as yields. And we find that there is a 25% or a little over 25% of having revenue below $900. So, a 1 in 4 chance that if you're doing, the $350 cash rent plus have cost in the $500 range, that next year won't make money with corn.
You have some charts. Can you tell me about them?
Yeah, we have a couple charts in this article. One of those just looks at cash prices at harvest and what options prices would imply about the probability of being below them. Just to give an example here, a $5 corn price, options prices would say that there's a 20% chance of being below $5 next fall. So there is downside price risk there. We also have a chart that lists different revenues, crop revenues for corn for a central Illinois situation, $600, $650, $700, and up to $900, and lists the probability of being below that. And that used those prices and yields that we've seen on farms. But again, an $850 revenue, the chance of crop revenue being below that is right around 20%.
Did you do the flip side? What's the chances of being above at these levels?
Above, and our expected return would be $1,150. So what we would expect given futures prices now and a 187 expected yield, we'd expect $1,150 as the most likely revenue. 50% of the time you'd be below it, 50% of the time you'd be above it. So you can get $1,300 and $1,400 revenues, and being above that, 20-25% of the time. What would likely trigger those situations is having another short crop someplace else and maybe a good crop here, and that could trigger high revenues.
That's FarmDoc ag economist and member of the University of Illinois Farm Management team at the College of ACES, Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, Gary Schnittke. I spoke with him this morning.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It is a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Matt Kunisch of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon.
You busy taking in corn there?
Busy might not be the right word, but we're preparing to be busy. How's that sound?
Do you have anybody hauling in to check and see if it's time?
Yes, we do. Yeah, actually, our Delphi facility, a little bit further to the south than our ethanol plant, has started seeing some new corn. I assume it will pick up, especially if the rain misses us later this week. But yes, there have been plenty of guys testing it and bringing it in.
What's the testing? What are producers telling you about the yields?
The yields are really hit and miss, depending on where the ground is. I've heard anywhere from 120 to 180. Just depends on when it got. It seems to be a little more on when it got planted. The average moisture is probably coming in at that 22.5 to 23.5. Obviously, some of the later corn, 25, 26, and then we have some corn that's coming in 18, 19. So just depends on where the corn's coming from. Yields have been all over the place. The early stuff that has been yielding badly was already guessed to be not great corn.
What are your bases like today?
Bases staying firm. We have Delphi at 500, Climbers at option price, and Delphi beans for new crop are 1381 right now.
And what are your bids on the day?
Delphi corn 743, Climbers corn 748, and again, Delphi beans at 1381.
As you look forward into next week, do you expect that basis to widen out as harvest begins to take on in earnest?
Next week may be a bit early. I think corn, for the most part, feels fairly firm. On the beans, it depends on what the processors do. I don't believe it's going to get any weaker. I actually look for some possible strength coming in, depending on what the yields look like.
Matt, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Matt Kunisch is with the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report at willag.org on this Wednesday afternoon. We'll say so long now to some of our radio stations. For the rest of you, I'll return in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated.
It's National Napoleon Day. It's also St. Regina Day, patron of shepherdesses. On this day in agricultural history in 1822, a treadmill was completed to grind corn at the New York City prison. It employed the labor of 8 to 16 inmates at a time. They would walk on what looked like a very wide 5-foot in diameter paddle wheel. Prisoners held onto a bar and climbed the paddle boards like endlessly walking on stairs. The contraption could grind up to 50 bushels of corn a day. In 1840, Luther Cromwell was born. An American inventor, he designed a machine to make square-bottomed grocery bags. Those bags are still in service today. In 1912, David Packard was born. He, along with William Hewlett, founded the Hewlett-Packard Company. Before they became famous for computers and printers, some of their early inventions included an automatic urinal flusher and a weight loss shock machine. And in 1948, the first rubberized asphalt road surface in the U.S. was applied to a mile-long stretch of Exchange Street in Akron, Ohio. The paving mixture contained as much as 11 pounds of crumbled synthetic rubber per ton of asphalt. It was thought the rubber would make the pavement more durable and safer in extreme weather, but that was not the case. And by 1959, rubber was no longer used as an asphalt additive. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated on the phone line from his offices near Kansas City to talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Producers, I think, still would like to get a rain or two for their bean crop across the Midwest. Drew, can you make that happen?
Well, I guess if someone sends me a big enough check, maybe. I don't know.
Is that really all it takes?
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, it would be.
Unfortunately, I don't think we can probably work that out too well. But I can look at the crystal ball here, and it does look as though there is a chance for some showers in a couple of areas. First of all, we've got this upper-level disturbance, which is leftovers of Tropical Storm Lee and a new upper-level low. They've kind of combined. And so these showers that we've got scattering across parts of the Midwest here now and will continue for the next two or three days will offer some rainfall across a part of the region. Now, I'm not looking for major soakings, but we could pick up a quarter to half inch, maybe a localized three-quarter inch amount in some of the drier areas out there in Illinois, eastern Missouri, maybe a few southern Indiana locations. But the best rains will be in northern Indiana and parts of Ohio, where we'll probably see anywhere from 3/10 of an inch to an inch of moisture over the next few days, and some localized amounts maybe as high as an inch and a half. Then we'll go a little ways. We have a cool front that will cut through the Midwest sometime early next week that will bring additional showers into the region. Nothing heavy, mostly less than 3/10 of an inch or so. And then a little better chance for rain showing up as we go into the second week of the outlook, probably after around the 17th of the month. That's when the rainfall will likely become more generalized.
We're getting to that time of the season when it's much tougher to pick up growing degree days. Mostly that would entail warmer weather, I would think. Will there be much of that on hand?
There will be some periods of warmer weather, but I think we're done with the really hot conditions, which is what we'd probably like to see here for a little while. We've got temperatures that will be near to below average for the coming week. The coolest weather will actually occur during the first part of next week when we'll see highs back in the 60s and 70s. But for the next several days, taking us into the weekend, we'll see a lot of 70s and a few lower 80s out there in parts of the region, but it's not going to get much warmer than that. We'll see a cool front come down from the north towards the early part of next week. That may generate a little bit of frost again across parts of North Dakota or Minnesota, maybe even northern Wisconsin. Nothing too hard, but some scattered light frost. And then we'll warm back up again until that bigger rain event comes along.
Talk around the marketplace suggests that producers in South America are now anxious not only to put soybeans in the ground, but because of the high price, corn too. What type of planting conditions will they have? And I know corn comes later in the season for them. It usually comes after they've harvested soybeans.
Well, there's actually two corn crops, and
right,
one will be planted sooner than that. And in this month, actually, in some of the northern areas, some unirrigated cropland will be planted soon if there was moisture around. There's not a lot of that. We are expecting a dry, biased environment to occur across many of the northern portions of Brazil's crop country Not only corn, but also soybean areas because of the return of La Nina, which is underway now. It's not officially here, but it will continue evolving over the next few weeks. The end result of this is delayed rainfall again across many of Brazil's northern crop areas.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.